Gus Page Dramas. The roar of the presses. Every week, these giant presses roll and keep rolling at tremendous speed. 15,000 an hour until every last one of the 7 million copies of the American Weekly has gone through in full color. Great fiction, interesting features, factual articles, and color illustrations. All these are to be found in every issue of the American Weekly, which comes to you each week with your Hearst Sunday newspaper. This week's front page drama, The Rattlesnake Murder Case, is an original radio playlist suggested by a feature news story to be found in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly, entitled The Strange Sequel to Los Angeles' Atrocious Rattlesnake Murder. As our story opens, two well-dressed men with an attractive young woman are riding in an open roadster. They drive into the grounds of a snug little cottage in the Connecticut countryside.
But, Teddy, I still think it's an imposition to come out here and force ourselves upon poor Betty in her condition.
Oh, nonsense, Jessie. You talk as if Betty was going into confinement tomorrow. Why, she didn't divulge our little secret even to me until Friday. She's as right as red. Betty, may I say?
Oh, she must be to move out here in the country and still refuse to hire a servant. Nice place you got here, Teddy.
Yeah, the house is small, but we've got plenty of ground. And there we are. All out for the Krantz country estate. Now, Betty! Betty, dear, come on out and see who's here. Betty!
No answer. She must be lying down.
Yeah. Let's go in. Come on, Jack.
The front door's open. Is it all right to go in?
Oh, sure. Go ahead. I'll find Betty. Oh, Betty! Betty, dear, where are you? Jesse and Jack are here. Betty! She's not in here. Jesse, go out in the back through the kitchen. She's probably out in the garden by the lily pond. I'll make some drinks and be with you in a jiffy.
All right, Teddy, I'll go out and find her.
You need any help, Ted?
No, I don't think so. Look, why don't you go out with Jesse and Betty? It won't take me but a minute to whip up something. What's that? Jesse,
something
happened. Betty, she's dead. Out there in the lily pond, she's dead.
Now, quit your beefing, Terry. You're worse than your old man was when he first joined the force. I'm sorry I ever volunteered to teach you the ropes.
Oh, but all this inaction, driving up and down country roads, burning up the taxpayers' money, then pulling over and parking under trees. Same thing day after day. Gosh, I wish I'd joined the Army.
Yeah, I'm beginning to wish you had, too. All you young squirts are the same. You think state policemen live like they do in those crazy mystery novels?
Listen, Gary, I'm not that bad. When a fellow has studied as hard as I have,
more of your old man's talk. That's what spoiled you. You're overeducated. College boys never do make good policemen.
Okay, Gary. But let's do something. At least start driving around again.
All right. Oh, wait a minute. There's a call coming through.
Oh, what the heck? It won't be for us.
Calling patrol car 30. Patrol car 30. Patrol car 30. Proceed at once to house at Pine Hill Road and Bay Lane 3. Woman drowned. Medical officer on the way. That is all. Patrol car 30.
Okay, Terry, that's us. Come on, step on that thing. Get going.
It's all right.
Now, just take it easy. Keep quiet just a minute.
Well, Terry, he's dead. I'm dead for 6 hours or more, I'd say. Too late for artificial respiration.
Well, Mr. Clarence, have you any idea how it happened?
I don't know. I left early this morning. She was happy, cheerful. She was expecting a baby. She had occasional dizzy spells. She loved this spot out by the pond. She must have leaned over, got dizzy, and fainted, perhaps. I don't know.
Hey, quick, he's keeling over.
All right, I've got him now. He'll be all right. Here, Terry. Terry, give me a little of that whiskey.
Yeah, right.
The poor fellow's taken apart. Here, let's put him down over here.
All right.
Come on, up there.
Fine. Oh, here comes the doctor, Sergeant.
Yeah. Here's the body, Doctor.
Make way, please.
He's dead. Drowned, apparently. But I want you to take particular notice of the right leg, Doctor. Here, down by the calf, you'll notice a wound about a quarter of an inch long.
Hmm.
The leg is swollen to the knee. I think that wound may have been caused.
I have sent for you, Officer Bronson.
Well, yes, Dad, but I...
Don't interrupt, please. In this office, I'm your superior officer, not your parent.
Yes, sir.
The State Police Commission and myself have carefully reviewed your conduct in the Krantz case. You've been guilty of insubordination to the state coroner and your superior officers. You publicly ridiculed the verdict of the coroner's jury and behaved in a manner unbecoming a member of the state police. I have no other alternative than to suspend you for 30 days without pay.
Yes, sir. But I still believe Betty Krantz was murdered and her husband guilty of the crime.
I agree with the coroner and his jury's verdict of accidental death by drowning. The case is closed. Turn in your equipment and uniform.
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry, Terry, my boy. I guess they decided against
me. Yep, Gary. They suspended me for 30 days.
Oh, that's tough. Now, you hardly deserve that.
I'm glad I got it, Gary. Boy, oh boy, I'm tickled to death.
Ah, that's the old fighting spirit, my boy.
I'm only just beginning the fight. For the next 30 days, I'm on my own. And believe me, I'm going to use every minute of it to prove I was right. I'll clear my name and bring that smooth, slick murderer to justice.
Well, Terry, I'm glad to see you again. Now, how is your little investigation working out?
It's going to be a big investigation, Gary.
Oh?
My first break came last week. The insurance company up in Hartford that had a policy on Mrs. Krantz disputed his claim.
Oh, that sounds good. Now, tell me, how did it happen?
Well, the company charges that the information on the basis on which they issued the policy was false.
Oh.
So they won't pay off.
Well, now, there's a break in your favor,
too. Right. And I took advantage of it to investigate further. I find now that Krantz has been married 4 times.
Holy mackerel, the fellow's a bluebeard.
What's more, his second wife met her death by drowning. Not in a pool, but in a bathtub. Not in Connecticut either, but over in Pennsylvania.
Well, what do you know about that?
I went there over the weekend.
And how did that little accident happen?
Very much like the last one. Krantz brought his wife into the office of a Dr. Rogers.
Yes.
She was suffering from a bad gash in the head, which Krantz said she received in an automobile accident. After being treated at a local hospital, Krantz took his wife to a tourist camp.
Where she got dizzy and fell in a bathtub and was drowned.
That's right.
Yes.
And a week after the alleged automobile accident, Krantz came to town to shop. A boy from the market helped him back to the cabin with the supplies. He called for his wife. There was no answer.
Now, don't tell me, Terry. I know the rest. She was face down in the tub.
Exactly.
Yes, that's what I thought.
And he pulled the same sob at, crying, fainting, and mourning, that the authorities whitewashed the case like they did this one.
Well, the sameness of the two deaths make good evidence. But, Terry, you see, it's not necessarily proof of guilt.
I know that. I know that, all right. I got all those people in Pennsylvania ready to testify. Now then, Gary, tell me, what have you found out?
Well, not much, but enough. It was just as you said, Terry. His grief, it didn't last very long. He's got another woman on the string.
Oh, then I was right about that, too, eh?
Yeah. I patrolled the road, just like you suggested. And sure enough, about a month after the funeral, he began driving up after dark with another woman. Entertains her quite often.
Good. Now, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to slip in that house in the daytime when he's away. I'm going to install a couple of good microphones in his house. Bring the wires to the ivy on the outside. We'll hook this up to a portable recording machine and record what was on.
Oh, that's taking a long chance, Terry. If we ever got caught, your power would break.
Don't worry, we won't get caught. Let you out of this deal now if you want me to.
No, Terry. I promise to help you through this, and I'm staying for the finish.
Are you always set, Terry? Hands and the woman are in the house now.
Yes. I ran a test on the equipment, and the voice is coming fine. He's out in the kitchen getting ice. Apparently, they're going to do a little drinking.
Okay, now. I'll go back to the car. You flash your light if you need it.
Right. Have your statutory warrants ready in case I get enough evidence for you to make an arrest.
Okay, sir. I'll just signal me if you want. Good luck, my boy.
Thanks, Gary. Hope we can land this bird tonight.
Oh, what's the idea of sitting away over there by yourself? Come over here on the couch and get friendly.
Don't rush me, Teddy. I want to enjoy this drink and hear that business proposition you've been talking about.
Okay. But it's cozier over here.
I'm comfortable right here. Now, what about the proposition you said would make me some money? I can use a little ready cash.
Could you use $1,000?
$1,000? Say, cut out the kidding.
I'm not kidding. All you have to do is tell a little white lie and you can earn $1,000 quickly.
Why so much for a little white lie, Teddy?
Well, I'm having a little argument with the insurance company. They owe me $15,000 on the policy I had on Betty's life.
Now, wait a minute. This proposition doesn't sound kosher to me.
Oh, don't be a fool. There's nothing to it. In order to be able to collect the full $15,000 instead of $5,000 that they offer, I've got to have someone swear that they visited Betty in the garden on the day of her death.
Oh, so they're not so sure about that accidental death verdict, eh?
Oh, of course they believe it. This is another one of those minor technicalities in the policy. Well, how about doing me and yourself a favor, huh? $1,000 is a lot of money.
No, thanks, Teddy. Include me out. I'll pay.
Oh, come on. Don't be silly. It's the easiest way you'll ever find to make $1,000. Now, look, I'll frame the thing, so all you'll have to do...
It's no use, Teddy. I don't want any part of it. I don't want to get mixed up with anything to do with Betty's death.
Say, look, here, Pearl, you don't think that...
I'm not even thinking, sweetheart. But your little playmate Joey seems to be.
What?
Especially when he's in his cup.
I don't know what you mean. I haven't seen Joe Vogel in over a month. Not since I saw him in the hotel bar.
Don't kid me, Teddy. You were up to see him the night he moved to the Post Hill Tavern.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. I did take him home one night. Well, that was about a month ago. How about another drink, huh?
I saw your signal, Terry. What's up? Use your warrants and pick up those two.
Yeah.
I think we've got enough on this record to hold him on one charge.
And where are you going, Teddy?
Down to the Post Hill Tavern to interview a man by the name of Joe Fogle.
Yeah.
I think he knows a lot I ought to know. See you at the station later.
By golly, Terry, I hope you know what you're doing. All this ain't strictly according to Hoyle, you know.
I know what I'm doing, all right, I tell you. I have got that murdering rat Cran strapped in one chair, his girlfriend in the other. Strap Joe Fogle down on this table.
Oh, you cops can't do this to me. I know my rights. I'll have you both broken for this.
Come on, you lie down on that table and be quick about it.
All right.
Oh, no, you won't.
All right, well, we'll see about that.
Go on, come on, get on
it. Oh, hey, Sergeant. Get some help.
Now, strap him down.
There he is, Terry.
Oh, fine.
Now what?
Take off his right shoe and sock and roll up his pant leg. While I get the surprise I have out in the hall.
All right, now you...
Here we are. Quick, Harry. Push that chair up beside it barefoot.
Okay, Terry, but what in the name of the saints you're trying to prove?
Murder. Now step back. And grab his bare leg. When I open the lid of this box, slowly move his foot and leg toward the hole. Ready.
Okay, my boy. Holy mattress. Yes, snake.
Yes, sirree. Diamond back rattler. They're deadly. Start moving his foot toward the hole. Slowly now. But if he won't talk, put it in.
All right, here we go.
No! No, for God's sake, no! No, don't do it! Don't do it! No. I'll tell everything. He did it. Cran's there. He did it.
You're a liar. A liar. He killed her.
Quiet, Joanne. Now, Fogle, go ahead. Go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. I own the snakes. I get them for carnivals and zoos. Yeah, he phoned me one day and asked if I had rattlers. He asked me to bring a box to his house one night.
That's a lie, I tell you.
Put a gag on him.
Went to his house and he let me in the garage. Yeah. Had his wife bound and gagged on the table, blindfolded she was, too. And I knew there was something wrong and I wasn't going to leave the rattlers. But he had a gun. He said, you can't get out of this now. There's no third party. I want to collect some insurance. That's what he said, and he made me put the box down and open the lid. Then he stuck her foot in it.
I see. When the poison had done its work, he carried the body out and laid it face down in the pool, making it look as if she had accidentally fallen into the water. Well, there's our case, Sergeant. Lock them up. I'm going home and break the news to Father.
You've just heard the front page drama, The Rattlesnake Murder Case, suggested by a feature news story, the strange sequel to Los Angeles' atrocious rattlesnake murder, to be found in next Sunday's American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world that comes to you each week with your Hearst Sunday newspaper. Dramas. The roar of the presses. Every week these giant presses roll and keep rolling at tremendous speed. 15,000 an hour until every last one of the 7 million copies of the American Weekly has gone through in full color. Great fiction, interesting features, factual articles, and color illustrations. All these are to be found in every issue of the American Weekly. All these go to make up the nation's reading habits. Another name for the American Weekly, which comes to you each week with your Hearst Sunday newspaper. Chapter 3 of the colorful and dramatic life story of Princess Amelie Carapau, entitled I Watch the Old World Crumble, appears in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly. In this latest installment of her memoirs, she touches upon the infatuation of a Russian nobleman for a young gypsy girl and the subsequent vengeance of her tribe. Weaving this incident into the plot of an old Russian gypsy legend, we present this week's front page drama, The Hand of Vengeance. It is a cold, blustery night in early October, just after the turn of the century. On the main road, not far from St. Petersburg, hemmed in by the dark, foreboding North Country, stands a low two-story building, the Black Eagle Inn. Outside, the wind howled mournfully. The rain and sleet beat a steady tattoo against the windows. Occasionally, the dismal, blood-curdling cry of a wolf is heard. Inside the low ceiling,